Do you know what splooting is? If you Google squirrels splooting, it's like they're just face planted directly on the pavement.
Splooting.
Splooting.
Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time. This is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Wisconsin, it is Friday. All right, so I'm in Madison, which is very exciting because this is my hometown, and it's always lovely to be where I'm from. And so we are going to be joined by Joe Zepecki.
Just
a second.
He's going
to recap through the news with us, but as we prepare for that, it's always nice. I'm happy to be living in Milwaukee, but I'm recording from Madison today, and it's always nice to be back in my hometown. It's always feeling like lots of feelings of nostalgia and I don't know. It's always nice to see what's changed and what's still here. And so last night I was on a panel for Cap Times Idea Fest, and it was at Leopold's Bookstore, which when I was growing up was Greenie's Bakery, and it was like a donut shop that didn't close. It just got bigger and it moved to a different location. But what was a donut shop is now a bar, cafe, bookstore, and it's beautiful. It was such a great event. It was such a great venue. But it's crazy then going down Monroe Street, which is close to where I grew up, and some of the stores that are still there, like Orange Tree Imports, which has been there since I was a child and I guess is still always busy. It's like a really kind of high-end gift shop, and Art Gecko. But then Pizza Bruta, which I definitely was not there when I grew up. And so it's just fun to come back and see what is still standing, what has changed. There's tons of traffic on University Avenue. And so, it's a fun thing to come home. I would say that. But I'm excited for this weekend. I'm going to the Bears-Packer game. And one of the things I'm excited to talk about is the fact that there's going to be a rally in Green Bay on Sunday for Ron DeSantis and Tim Michaels. And I thought there was an unspoken rule about the fact that you cannot mix politics with Packer games, but apparently we have abandoned that rule. And so, we'll see. It'll be interesting to see if it's the same kind of turnout as we've seen at Trump rallies before, and if the town between the Packers game, granted the Packers game is at 7:20, so it's later in the day, and I think the rally is earlier in the day, but how flooded Green Bay feels this weekend. And so, but I'm excited. My whole family's going to go. So it's been a very Wisconsin week between doing the show, being in Madison, going to Green Bay this weekend. And so super happy about it. And so I'm just excited to also go through the news today because there's been a lot that's happened. I think on this show so far, despite having the new Marquette polling numbers come out, we have not talked about it on the show yet. And so we're doing a new thing on Fridays where we invite some of our friends who are pundits and strategists and very smart people about Wisconsin politics to come recap the news of the week, this week in Wisconsin politics. And we're kicking it off with Mr. Joe Zepecki.
If you can hear me.
We can hear you.
Yay, we did it. Happy Friday, everybody.
Happy Friday. Joe, how are you doing?
It occurred to me, I have not seen you since your wedding because I did the show the Monday after while you were still working it off. So I'm sorry, Miss Sampson. How you doing?
I'm great. That's so funny. I guess you're right. It's been almost a month. I literally put on our shared calendar, our being not you and me and my husband.
That
we're going to try to, we got this piece of advice from our friends who got married last year that on the same date every month, that is their date night. So like on September 20th, which will be a month after our wedding, which was August 20th, that's going to be our date night. I'm going to make him rewatch our ceremony since we live streamed it. But things are good. The only thing that's really changed as far as when people ask how married life is about once a day I go, I'm someone's wife.
Jane, just you and I here. How long do you think this tradition is going to last for the newlyweds?
Well,
every month date night on the same day.
I'll give it. let's be generous and give it 6.
I don't think they'll make it till Christmas, but that's just me. On date night, I think you'll make it.
I think we will, it won't be because of me. It'll be because of Mike, because he is. He's much more of a stickler of these things. At one point, we were trying to do date night once a week, and I was like, this is not sustainable. I'm a busy person, Michael.
Good to see your face.
It's good to see your face.
Good to hear your voice. And what are you doing in Madison? Did you cover that in your open I couldn't hear?
Yeah, so I was here last night for Captain's Idea Fest is all week, and I was asked to be...
Big ideas?
I always have big ideas, Joseph Pecky, but I was asked to be part of the social media panel. And so it was at Leopold's bookstore. And so I was here last night and it was really great. I was just saying, it's always fun to come back to Madison and see what's changed, what's the same. I mean, it was funny because the social media person from Century House, which is like a Scandinavian furniture store. And I literally thought about, they were at the event, but as I drove by the Century House, which is on University Avenue, I mean, that store has been there since I can remember it at all, of just going to Shorewood or driving on University Avenue. So to see some of these places that are 40 plus years, not only still open and running, but in the same location is awesome. But then you see these new businesses that have popped up and are doing so great. And so Leopold's is one of those, of being a bar, bookstore, coffee shop, but it used to be a donut store. Like that was where we went to get donuts in high school. And so it's fun to see the evolution of the city. And you're going to be here Saturday for the Badger game. So you get to also take in the differences that things change in the ever evolving landscape of Madison.
Slightly different than when I went to college there.
Just a little. All right, well, let's get into some of the news of the week. The biggest news, I think, arguably, you could argue with me, is the new polling numbers that came out from Marquette Law School. And different. I think more so there was a bigger change in the Senate race than necessarily the governor's race. And what were your big takeaways from the numbers that came out this week? Because there was another poll that I want to get to.
Yeah. Well, first of all, I would never argue with you. Unfortunately, our reality is that when the Marquette University Law School poll drops, everybody stops what they're doing, and it's A1 front page news, and it's on every TV newscast. And so if you're looking for the score of the game that was held the week before, boy, the Marquette Law School poll is for you. So we've talked in the past, I think even right after the August Marquette poll, you had me on, and I didn't believe that Mandela Barnes was up 7 points then. I never believed that either of these races for governor or for Senate would be sort of one going away in the way that Tammy Baldwin won in 2018. These were always going to be close races, and the polling reflects that, right? So if you're a Mandela Barnes supporter, you might be going, oh no, the lead is gone. The lead was never that big. And if this is what it takes to keep you motivated and to knock on 5 more doors and to get 10 more of your friends registered to vote and out to vote, fan-freaking-tastic. Because what we know is Wisconsin is a 50-50 state. Mm-hmm. So whether the polls say, which this one did, Johnson 49, Barnes 48, or Evers 47, Michaels 43, which it did, it doesn't matter. It's on all of us to get out there and vote. Now, there are some interesting things within the poll. There's reasons for optimism for Democrats. There's reason to be concerned about some things. But more than the horse race, what I was really struck by were the numbers around the issue of crime as a political issue and the questions about whether you feel personally safe in your community. And my takeaway from this, really from the whole poll, but this is sort of exhibit A, is that partisanship is a heck of a drug, right? We've got Republicans, you know, to the tune of like 80% saying crime is a top issue. And then you ask people if they feel personally safe in their community, and like 80% of Republicans are like, absolutely, yeah, I'm good. I'm good. Are you good? Because I'm good. I don't mind walking down the street to get a coffee. Are you good? I'll walk with you because I'm good. And so I just, it's a really, really jarring reminder that so much of what we're seeing is about a political strategy from one side. It is not, you know, if you woke people up in the middle of the night and said, what's your number one issue? Almost none of them, even in that terrifying scenario that I just conjured out of thin air, even they wouldn't go like, well, my personal safety, I'm worried I might get shot.
I mean, they might, because if you just woke them up in the middle of the night, they might be like, what are you doing in my house?
Okay, it wasn't the best example. It's live radio. What do you want from me? So when you see national Republicans coming in and trying to jump up and down on Mandela Barnes's head and try to paint him to be something he is not, know that it's not because they're genuinely concerned about what's going to happen to them. This is a political strategy. And so I don't think at the end of the day, based on my reading of those numbers, this issue of crime is much more than really a base motivator. That's the number one thing for Republicans. They're going to keep doing this because they have to keep Republicans engaged. And why is it so important that they keep Republicans engaged? Because Democratic enthusiasm has risen. Because inflation is less of a concern among voters and is hitting people's wallets less than it was a couple of months ago. So the issue matrix, if you're a Republican, isn't as good as it was. You're going to be like, crime, 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 immigration, 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 because they don't want this to be about the investments that Joe Biden and Democrats have made in our economy that are going to lower healthcare costs, that are going to lower energy costs. They don't want it to be about the fact that after 50 years, Republicans are the dog that caught the car and have made it much harder for women to exercise their freedom and access the healthcare that they may need at some point in their life. Republicans don't want the election to be about those things. They want it to be about scaring you and, you know, terrifying you that anytime you walk down the street, you're going to get mugged. But that's not the case, and people don't believe that. That's what these numbers told us.
All right, well, we're going to take our first break of the show. We are joined this whole hour by Democratic campaign veteran and strategist Joe Zepecki. We'll be back in just a minute. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Just call the ballot box. If you don't like who's in there, vote them out. If you don't like who's in there, we'll vote them out.
Back to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
I think Kristen needs a minute. Jane, I don't know what you've heard, but I've heard that Kristen is very tired and it's been a very long week. I feel like if you sing her another lullaby like that, she's going to fall asleep on
it. It's about voting, Joe. It's engaging. It's energizing.
No, I understand. But maybe we need a little, like, maybe the coffee isn't doing what it usually does for Kristen. Maybe we need a little shot of life.
It has been a long week. Jane is also, it's also been a long week for Jane.
It has.
But we're here. It's Friday. This is As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. Jane Mettiner is on the board. And we are joined all hour by campaign strategist, Democrat veteran, Joe Zepecki. How you doing today?
I was going to thank you for leaving out the word veteran. That really is starting to sting.
I feel like that was your word. I feel like you've described yourself as a campaign veteran. No?
Well, campaign veteran is one thing. Veteran campaign strategist, that's just calling me old.
I mean, you're not young.
Hey, watch it.
All right, so we were talking about poll numbers, which I was on Devil's Advocates yesterday, which is on 92.7 in our flagship Madison station and with Mike Crute, and we were talking about the same topic because, as you said, we all stop everything we're doing and talk about the Marquette Law School poll when the polling numbers come out. And sometimes it's maybe because it was a slow news week otherwise, and it gives us something to talk about and obsess over, whereas I think a lot of the population doesn't really care. But I was just reminding him that in reality, a poll is a snapshot. It is not a predictor. It is not a crystal ball. It is not telling us anything except in this moment on this day, this is how the people are feeling. And
it's the score of the game from last week.
Yeah, exactly. Right? Like, and so it's an indicator, but it's not, oh, this is what's going to happen now. Especially when you think about the margin of error being 3 or 5 points and it's a 1 point game. Right. And so it doesn't really tell you anything. And so, but regardless of that, where do you feel like the campaigns go from here with less than 2 months to go?
Yeah. So there's a couple pieces to this. First, we know that it's kind of surrogate season, right? Other people are going to start to come in and campaign with these folks. So, for example, tomorrow, Mandela Barnes will be campaigning with Senator Amy Klobuchar from Minnesota. I think they'll be up in the Minneapolis media market. That's really smart. Amy Klobuchar, you know, sure, rock solid, moderate Democrat who's done a lot of great things. And I know she would love to have another Democratic colleague from right next door in the great state of Wisconsin. I think much more controversially, you've got Tim Michaels appearing this weekend with Ron DeSantis. I think in the last half hour, we'll talk about some of the controversy around DeSantis this week. But it's a choice who these candidates decide to stand with in the coming weeks and have like come into campaign for them. I think it's somewhat different than when, like, you know, Labor Day, the president comes to town and everybody wants to be there, but other people have commitments. But where these campaign events, where it's the campaign running it, look to who they're campaigning with. I also think they have to, you know, really keep the tempo up, right? Barnes is out there, I think, really effectively responding to some of these false negative attacks from the right. You know, they're accusing him of holding extreme positions on policing and community safety. And Mandela is able to look in the camera, but that's a lie. I want to make sure law enforcement has the resources they need to keep our streets safe. That's what you have to do. You have to take this stuff head on. What I don't see, conversely, is Senator Johnson looking people in the eye and saying, no, actually, I don't want to cut Social Security. I don't see him looking people in the eye and saying, no, actually, I don't want to eliminate Obamacare. I don't see him looking and saying, no, actually, like, I'm where you are. I'm where the public is on abortion. He can't say those things because he isn't. He is out of step with Wisconsinites on issues that are of increasing importance to voters. So I think you're going to see. Go ahead.
See, well, he's also out of touch with our Wisconsin state constitution, thinking that voters can vote on a referendum on abortion. And because that is not allowed in our, you know, so, well, we should just vote on it. It's like, well, that's not actually how it works in this state. We are not Michigan.
We should just vote on it. Or you could vote on it, Senator.
Yeah.
And the thing is, he wants to. You know, we saw this week that Lindsey Graham, Senator from South Carolina, introduced a national ban on abortion, putting the lie to all of these conservatives who said, oh, no, we just want Roe to go away. And now it's a state's issue. We'll let the state sort it out. That's not their end game. The end game is a national total ban on women getting the health care that they sometimes need. And here we've got Johnson coming up with the most ridiculous answer to this question you can imagine. Well, let's just have the people vote on it. You know what that reminds me of? That reminds me of, I see no reason not to oppose it, when it came to marriage equality legislation, which it turns out, 6 weeks after the fact, in a rare moment of honesty, the senator goes, well, I was just trying to get the press off my back. He doesn't want to talk about this issue because he's wrong on this issue, because 80% of Wisconsin voters know that what Republicans are trying to do when it comes to limiting access to contraception, to, you know, to medical care, is ridiculous. And so he doesn't want to talk about that. He wants to change the subject. It's the job of progressives and of Democrats to not let Senator Johnson or Mr. Michaels off the mat when it comes to this. This election, I believe, is going to hinge on the issue of access to abortion care. Why do I think that? Because Wisconsin is a 50-50 state. You flip a coin, you know, half the time you're going to get this, half the time you're going to get that. Democrats have been on a roll. But here's what we know. I go to the numbers. When you look at new voter registrations, and the state just dumped a bunch of new data, women and the youngest voters, 18 to 29, are overperforming, over-indexing their historical averages. Women and young people are going to decide these elections. That's a good place for both Tony Evers and Mandela Barnes to be.
All right, because I want to dive into that more when we come back. So this is Joseph Pecky. Well, this is Kristen Bry. We are joined by Joseph Pecky this hour. Stay with us. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
And you know we'll have our say. Just take a walk down to the polls or hit yourself a ride. Make a choice. Use your voice to have a better life.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. Happy Friday. Jane Metnair is on the board, and our guest this hour is campaign strategist Joseph Pecky. How you doing?
Not a veteran one.
Not a veteran. I learned better. I'm not going to call you a veteran anymore.
Then at the end of the last segment when Kristen went, I'm Joseph Pecky.
The Pecky? Anchor man?
Yeah. Thanks for picking up the tempo on the music, Jane.
So I want to talk about this because I think as we are inundated with political ads right now, every screen that you own, even as someone who doesn't watch a lot of live television, what I watch shows on Hulu, on your phone, YouTube, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And so everywhere you go, when you live in Wisconsin, you're going to see political ads right now. And I often feel like that is the only way, that is one of the ways we get to know candidates, whether it's an accurate way or not. But another way to get to know candidates is to watch them debate. And for the first time since 1998, when Tommy Thompson cakewalked his way into his fourth term, we're only going to have one debate between Governor Tony Evers and Tim Michaels. That was what the campaigns agreed to. And this is not just a phenomenon in Wisconsin and this, like, unique to this campaign. Across the country, in statewide elections, there's been very few debates scheduled, whether it's for Senate or for governor races. And it just feels like, I understand from the standpoint of a candidate why you wouldn't want to, especially if you're not a very good debater, but it feels like a really bad situation for voters because it's another opportunity and another touch point to actually know who these candidates are, especially when you have a single term incumbent and another guy who hasn't run for public office since Anchorman came out.
It's terrible. This is it's just bad for democracy.
Yeah.
And over the course of our history in Wisconsin, you can literally like chart it, right? It was like first there were four, and then like Barrett Walker, there were always three. And then in 2014, when Mary Burke ran against Governor, there was two. And now it's this is just bad for democracy, full stop. One of the ways that I've been thinking about this is based on all of the polling. We've got 5% or less of Wisconsinites genuinely undecided about what they're going to do in this race. There's going to be about 2.7 million people who cast the ballot in this fall's election. So it's not as high as 2020, but it's, you know, right on par or a little ahead of 2018. 2.7 million, a lot of people. It's 2.5 million of them know what they're going to do. And you've probably got like 100 to 200,000 voters who are genuinely torn about what they're going to do. These folks deserve an opportunity given the outsized role that they will play in shaping the future of our state and frankly our country, given how closely divided the U.S. Senate is, that they should have an opportunity to see these candidates engage on the issues, forced to react to things, get off script. And what could be worse for democracy? Even more reliance on these ridiculous 30-second ads. It's really, really, it's just sad. It's bad. I don't know what else to say.
I know, and because there's nothing really we can, it's not like it's a mandate that in order to get elected, there needs to be X amount of debates. And it's just, it's the fact that it's just kind of on the campaigns to come to an agreement of whatever the terms are of what the debate's going to be. And if they don't come to it, then it's like, well,
Yeah, and listen, too part bad. Of it has to do with the media environment we live in, right? These aren't necessarily good business because they don't, you know, attract huge audiences. What I would argue is they attract a really important audience, because within those 100,000 to 200,000 voters who don't know what they're going to do when it comes to the election, they deserve that opportunity. And frankly, it's the partisans on both sides will watch them and fight about it and engage with it online. So there's an audience. Media outlets have to try and do these. I think the way that they kind of stick them on Friday nights, like during the fall, like I'll say right now, I can't watch the governor debate live because I have a commitment that Friday night to coach. And so why you do it on a Friday night when Wisconsin football is being played in every high school community around the state, which is basically every community around the state.
Yeah.
I just don't get it. And it's too bad because voters deserve better.
And so what do campaigns need to do instead? Like you said, as far as actually getting to know, so let's say Mandela, who's less known statewide. And I think that was the big thing is this is his opportunity to, he needs to put himself in a certain light as people get to know him, because God knows the Ron Johnson campaign ads are trying to paint him in a different light. And so beyond his own campaigns, because we don't know, there could be one, there could be three there. I don't think those campaigns have decided yet as far as what the debate structure or how many there will be in for the Senate campaign. But like, what do we need to see from any of the candidates to actually get to know them better?
Well, I think you got to look at where else are they taking questions. So for example, I know that Governor Evers is going to do a Milwaukee Press Club, Rotary Club, like town hall the week of the debate. We know that Barnes is going to be out campaigning up in the Minneapolis media market. He's going to be in Portage, you know, sort of off the beaten path, but in the Madison media market. Look what these candidates are doing. It is possible to find information about them. The campaigns have to do, you know, what I would be encouraging them to do are things like Reddit forums, you know, AMA has asked me any things, just go on Facebook Live, hop on a Zoom, do a virtual town hall, let people kick the tires, right? Like, it's really important for people to understand kind of how the different issues mix in each other. And so before, I think I've got a minute here, right?
Well, I'll say in the meantime, I was going to say they are all invited to come onto this show.
Yeah.
All four of you. I will be fair. I will ask similar questions. It will be a very straightforward, fun interview. Come on. I'll bring you on for a whole hour.
In the New York Times today, they reported out on their New York Times Siena College poll, which is another poll. That's just a snapshot of time. But what I like about what they do is after they poll people, they have reporters go back and talk to some of the people who are polled to get sort of real life anecdotes from these folks.
Okay.
So they talk to a woman, I won't use her last name, Janine, 44 years old from Racine, Wisconsin, said that rising inflation had caused her to change her lifestyle, including driving less, skipping vacations, and even abstaining from popcorn when she goes to the movies. A state employee, she also said she believed the Democrats were handing out too many government subsidies, pointing to relief payments distributed during the pandemic. Still, Janine said she planned to vote only for Democrats, saying abortion is her top issue. And I just think it's really important. Like, that's not presumably somebody who pays attention to politics every day, follows every twist and turn of a campaign. This is somebody who, you know, works for the state. On some issues, she is with the Democrats, on some issues with Republicans. But it sort of gives life to the notion that, like, to her, to this voter, that issue of freedom over her own body, or presumably daughters, nieces, you know, granddaughters, that rises above having to forego popcorn when she goes to the movies. And I think it's really important that elected officials and candidates standing for office hear those stories, get those encounters, so that they know why they're fighting for what they're fighting for.
We're talking to Democratic campaign strategist Joe Zepecki about the week in politics in Wisconsin. And it's interesting because we've been having more and more down ballot candidates come on the show. And it's been really fun to talk to them about the conversations they're having, because I think on it's smaller districts, it's easier to get your handle on who in your district may or may not be voting with you, and actually go door to door and have conversations. And a handful of the women, they have mostly been women so far, who've come on, who live in purple, if not red, districts, and those are the districts they're running for, have all said that even when they talk to women who are like, I'm a lifelong Republican, and then they close the door behind them, so they're presumably their husband can't hear them have the rest of the conversation, and then they go, and I'm really worried about abortion and access to it, whether it's for myself, my daughters, women in general. And so because we are in such a draconian situation of what the abortion law is in Wisconsin, that is older, that is basically as old as the state itself, I think that there's more women who will, in the same way that in 2016 there was people who didn't want to admit they were voting for Donald Trump to their friends and family, and then still did. I think it's understated how many women who normally vote Republican may switch this time.
Oh yeah, listen, this is, to the extent there is a hidden vote this time, this is the issue.
Yeah.
And this is a really, really hard conversation, and you know, really complicated, and it's unique to each individual. But listen, once you start imagining the scenarios, you begin to understand. There are women in Wisconsin who have had abortions who their husbands don't know about it, right? And who have maybe always voted Republican, who consider themselves pro-life, and who view Republicans on this issue as overreaching and going way too far and saying, that's too much, I'm going to vote for Democrats this time, even if they don't tell anybody, mm-hmm. right? We are seeing and hearing from women who consider themselves pro-life, who hear these awful stories about, you know, women just traveling through Wisconsin, trying to drive from Minneapolis to Chicago, who are, you know, in the second term of a pregnancy and have a medical emergency, and their options are limited and informed by where in the state they are, because in some communities there are three doctors who can agree this woman's life is in danger, we have to go now. And there are some communities in the rural parts of the state where there's only one doctor around, and so the hospital lawyer says, I'm sorry, we can't help you. You have to risk driving another 3 hours to Chicago. This is literally life and death above and beyond being such a basic freedom that women in this country were able to have for more than almost 50 years. Like, this is real and it's out there, and we know where Michaels lines up. He says the 1849 law is an exact, you know, mirror of his position. We know that he has given tens of thousands of dollars to organizations that don't even believe in birth control, that think everyday common contraceptives like the pill should be outlawed. That is radical. It is extreme. We know that Senator Ron Johnson has co-sponsored Lindsey Graham's national abortion ban 5 times in the last 10 years. Now that he's running an election, you know, he thinks, well, wouldn't it be great if we did this referendum, which we talked about in the last, but we know that if Republicans take control of the Congress, and this Graham bill to ban abortions nationally comes to the floor, Ron Johnson's going to vote for it, period.
Yeah.
You can read more about this on Up North News Wisconsin today. I've got a new piece up. And we know that both Tony Evers and Mandela Barnes believe in and trust women to make their own decisions between they and their physicians, their faith and their family, and the people that they want to bring into that conversation. They trust women. That's the choice on this issue. So,
it's so important, and yet there's also, how much more can we say about it until we get through the other side of the election? Because obviously there's the ongoing lawsuit that Attorney General Josh Call and Governor Tony Evers have filed that the Republican legislature is trying to get dismissed. And so there's some legal action there. Obviously the Wisconsin Supreme Court race in April 2023 is going to be very, very important, but it's until there's some movement on who we elect or this lawsuit, we can just keep talking about it and how like dire the situation is and how women will either die or get sick or lose their uteruses or all of these really terrible health outcomes. But until there's some movement or people vote knowing that they need to protect this, we can just keep talking about it.
We have to keep talking about it, and we have to vote about it. The other piece of this that we shouldn't overlook are what I refer to as Dobbs dads, who are male voters who have been influenced by the Dobbs decision, who, tell you what, you don't mess with the dad's daughters. And there are a lot of Wisconsin dads today who are looking around and seeing these no birth control. Like, whoa. No exceptions for rape or incest. Whoa. And they are mobilizing on this as well. I think that's another one where, hey, when guys are out golfing or, you know, throwing a few strikes on Wednesday night, they might not be talking about it. But I think Wisconsin dads with daughters have been moved by this Dobbs issue as well.
All right. Well, we're going to take one more break before we let you go. But when we come back, I want to talk a little bit more about the surrogate campaigning thing, because there's a not so neighborly person, but I think there's a connection that makes sense of why this person's coming to Wisconsin. So we're going to talk about it when we come back. Joe Zepecki is our guest this hour, and this is As Goes Wisconsin. As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. Our guest this hour has been Joe Zepecki. We're just breaking down our thoughts on Wisconsin news of the week. And I don't want to stick on this or stay on this too long, but you were mentioning how Mandela Barnes is going to start campaigning with Amy Klobuchar, which makes a lot of sense because we share a border, we share a media market, Midwest values. And so why is Ron DeSantis coming to Wisconsin? We don't share a border at all. He's coming to campaign and do a rally in Green Bay with Tim Michaels. But then it made a lot more sense when I think about how many Wisconsin snowbirds we have and how there's a lot of people who spend half the time in Florida. And so maybe that's why they felt like that was a strong connection to bring Mr. DeSantis up here.
My favorite thing about this is they couldn't find a better time for it than immediately before the Packer game. What are we doing here, people? This is terrible staff work. It's so out of touch. DeSantis is also going to Kansas on Sunday, and then he's going to Green Bay. Dude's flying private, okay? My guy ain't, like, jumping in Group B on Southwest Airlines. So good staff work would have been, hey, Governor DeSantis, the Packers have a big rivalry game Sunday night. It's like kind of a big deal in our community. And since you're coming to Green Bay, can we have you come earlier in the afternoon, like before Kansas? You just reroute that private jet a little bit? Nope. Talk about out of touch. I don't get it. There are rules about Packer games. I've got some war stories. Sometime when I'm back, ask me about the 2002 GOTV robocall that did not account for the overtime Packer game.
I can imagine how that ends. A lot of the bigger question is, did the Packers win that game?
I believe they did.
Okay, yeah. So at least people were maybe in a good mood. They still didn't want to talk about voting, but at least they were in a good mood, because I think it would have been even worse had we lost. And then you get that call, and it's like, expletive.
It was a lot of hang-ups, like more hang-ups than in the history of any robocall ever.
Exactly. Well, before, we only have a couple minutes left, but we touched on this, I think, at the beginning of the week when it first broke. And my gut instinct was like, oh, God, this is going to get stupid. And it did, which was basically that there is a grant that Milwaukee has received to be able to get out the vote. And I don't know a lot of the details. I actually haven't even looked up who the grant is coming from. All right, time out.
No, I'll stop you right there.
All right, you go for it.
You already made a slight mistake.
Correct me.
Part of the confusion around this. There are grants going to C3 organizations, which means they are nonpartisan, to encourage people to vote. This has been going on forever. Groups like Souls to the Polls, right? This happens. These are groups that get funding from foundations to go out and let people know, here's how you vote. Here's how the rules work this time. Here's what's changed since last time. If your polling location might have moved, somebody can come to your door and say, hey, do you have any questions about voting? Yeah, I used to vote at the school around the corner. Where do I go this time? I heard they were shutting it down. This is really important community organizing that has been going on for decades. It's not controversial. It's not political even. It's just about encouraging people to vote. Where the city of Milwaukee comes in is that the mayor of Milwaukee came out and said he supported this. He was glad that this work was happening, that people were out there in the community encouraging people to be involved in their community by voting. He literally said at the press conference, this is not about telling people who to vote for. It's not even about encouraging people to vote for one candidate or the other or one party or the other. This is a resource for the community so that they know how to participate in our elections. And so, of course, the very first thing that happens is Republicans jump up and down and cry foul because they don't like it when people in Milwaukee vote.
But I also think it was reported on poorly then. Because I did not, 100%. That's not how I understood it. When I first read, it was a tweet from a journalist at Fox 6. And it was literally, it was almost the end of the show. And I saw it break. And I said, well, this will be interesting. And because it made it sound like it was sponsored, like the city of Milwaukee got this grant. And they were the ones pushing voting. Which still, if it's nonpartisan, you want people to vote. But it was reported on poorly. And not just by the very right-wing talk radio show host who also retweeted this and made a big deal out of it. But that's also on the reporting, because that was not how I understood it, the way you just explained it.
Yes, and it's actually like a fascinating case study in the power of talk radio, because what you have is, first, it is the right-wing yackers who have an agenda, who pick up on this, take, you know, one thing that they hear, add 17 untruths to it, and then turn it into something. And then you've got Robin Voss and Janelle Branchen pounding on the door. Oh my God, what are they doing? And then reporters get influenced by that and cover it poorly and don't ask the right questions and report it out to the public correctly. So here's the bottom line. Milwaukee Votes 2022 is a good thing, right? It's going to make sure that more of our friends and neighbors know how to participate. That's to the good. And, you know, between that and the ballot curing rule last week, my big concern.
Say more about that, because we haven't talked about that in the show either.
So a judge ruled that the rules are going to be slightly different for the November election than they were for August, but it's not going to impact voters. It's going to impact clerks. In the past, if you voted absentee by mail and your witness forgot to like fill in the date or maybe wrote, you know, their city and state, but not their zip code, the municipal clerk could fill in the zip code for them. That's not going to be allowed anymore. So all that means for voters is, if you're voting absentee by mail, when you have your witness sign your envelope, just take a look at it. Take the 15 seconds, make sure that they got all of the information there, their name, their address, city, state, zip, the whole deal. It's fine. It's not going to be a big problem. And that's, at the end of the day, my closing message. Voting is easier than some people want you to believe that it is. There are resources available to help you. You can ask for help literally as you vote. All of that is legal. Don't let anybody discourage you from using your voice in these razor thin, really, really close, really, really important elections. It's easy to vote. If you have questions, ask them. If you don't know how to do it, people can teach you. There are groups that exist designed to do just that. So make sure your voice is heard. If there are people in your life who maybe want to participate, but they don't know how, help them, right? Mm-hmm. Pay it forward, because the more people vote, the better the system works. And we can send a resounding message against the division and hate that we see from the other side, against so much of what is kind of tearing our country apart. If we speak with our votes, we will get through this. We will be on a better course going forward. Amen.
Zepecki for Assembly. I say as you're signing the back.
That is a relic from the year 1972. That is, I may be old, but I'm not quite that old. That's leftover from my father's campaign when he was the ripe old age of 18. I know I was smarter than my dad at 18 because I didn't run for office at 18.
All right. Well, we're definitely going to have you back. I think we're going to keep this segment a recap on Fridays as far as what's happening in the news. Let you go enjoy your weekend. You got any big plans?
We're having a little Packer party on Sunday night for the neighbor kid's birthday. I'm going to the Badger game with Dad tomorrow and some great friends and former colleagues from Madison. So it's going to be a
big football weekend. All right, Joe Zepecki, always fun. Have a great weekend. We'll see you next time. This is As Goes Wisconsin. We'll be right back.